Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe, and I'm glad you're with us today. You probably all have heard me say this a number of times before, but of course, as you know, the goal of Central Coast Voices is to bring you credible, valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. Central Coast Voices wants to address how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community and how we look at the long-term ramifications of change in our society. And today we're going to talk about the Boys and Girls Club of North County and some exciting things that they have going on. I want to remind you of a couple of things. This is public radio. This is KCBX, and this is part of your community and your radio station. This is a call-in program. The phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. I would encourage you to join the discussion and be part of it with us today. Central Coast Voices is a project of Action for Healthy Communities, and we'd like to invite you to go to look at our report, which is called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County, and that can be found at www.actionslo.org. Long day today. That's actionslo.org. That is a report that will give you an interesting and rather intense look at San Luis Obispo County, both economically, socially, environmentally, and it's good information to look at as you get a better understanding of your county. And that report is available to anybody who would like to download it or read it online, and it's readily available. That's actionslo.org. And we'll talk about how you can contact us with other program ideas and things like that towards the end of the program. Today we're going to talk about the Boys and Girls Club of North San Luis Obispo County. Parents often find that there's really a significant amount of barriers to what we would call child care, after-school programs. You can give it all kinds of names. The bottom line is something for kids to do when they're not in school and can't be home with parents. And it is often a struggle, and there's lots of obstacles in the community. And we're going to talk today with some wonderful people from the Boys and Girls Club of North County. And they've got some exciting things that they're doing, but they also can give us some insights into what's significant about these programs and why what goes on with our youth is so critical, and how there are many programs that we would like to expand upon and look at further. My guests today are Megan Harris, Kate Morgans, and Jeb Brown. And so I've already started messing up the names, as simple as they are. Most of our listeners understand I have an awful time with names, and I apologize for that. And we want to talk about how the Boys and Girls Club really is striving to provide high-quality programs, both after school and as an adjunct to school. And it's a great thing to do. Kate Morgans is the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club. Megan Harris is the Director of Education, and Jeb Brown is the past chair and current board member of the Boys and Girls Club. And I want to start with one interesting fact that may give you some understanding about why this kind of program is so significant in our community. And it's not about feeding kids lunch, but what I want to quote is a statistic that's related to that that'll give you something to think about. About 46% of the county youth, those are children who are in grades K through 12, are enrolled in the free or reduced lunch program as far as what they get in school for lunch. That translates into a lot of things, but that's a key poverty indicator and a major factor in our community. 46% of the youth in this county. And that is really a significant place to start this discussion, because an awful lot of what the Boys and Girls Club does is addressing that specific significant population. And so we'll start with Kate, and welcome and glad you're here. Glad you're in the community. This is a reasonably new position for you, too, at the Boys and Girls Club in North County. But can you tell us a little about what a Boys and Girls Club is and why we're talking about it today?
I think to the point that you mentioned, the Boys and Girls Club is there for families of any means, but in particular, we serve working families who, despite working one, two, or more jobs, are still low income, and need a safe and positive place to send their kids during the time that they're not in school. And the Boys and Girls Club tries to be a second home for all of these kids while providing some structured programs that achieve the outcomes of academic achievement, character development, and good citizenship, and healthy lifestyles. And we have a very holistic program that brings that about.
Okay. It's an amazing program. I think most people, though, still think of a Boys and Girls Club as, well, the perception or the general perception is it's a play environment. It's like going to the recreation center at the local park. And I think that's, for a lot of people who have not experienced the Boys and Girls Club, that's still kind of what's probably perceived by most people.
Well, I think certainly fun is an important element okay. of what we do. However, that being said, I mean, the Boys and Girls Club is very much not just a babysitting place. The Boys and Girls Club as a national organization has been in place for over 100 years. And at a national level, we have some of the best youth development resources in the nation, if perhaps not the world. And so what's really lucky being a local chapter of the national organization is that we have access to tremendous programs that cover all aspects of youth development that we get to execute on a local level. And I think just by virtue of having Megan here, whose title is Director of Education Programs, I think that underscores that education and career readiness is a very important part of what we do.
Okay. That brings up an interesting question, and we'll pose it to Megan. But let me give you a little history from my standpoint. As I mentioned to you before, and I think you knew this, my wife is a math teacher at the middle school, Flamson, which is right next to your current facility in Paso Robles. And so one of the things that I was most aware of for your program, that she was aware of as a teacher, was how often kids who had no place to go after school could be in your facility. And yes, that's really a safe daycare, not daycare, but well, after school program for the kids. But her comments on a regular basis would be, and they'll help them with their homework, or they'll find, I think you have some or had some interns or tutors from Cal Poly or from the high schools that would come and work with kids on things there. So from my perspective, education becomes a key thing to get kids attached to the program, but it's obviously not the only thing you do.
Education is one of our primary focuses because it's so important to everybody to earn their high school diploma and then go on and be successful adults. During our school year program alone, we do at least 30 minutes of educational activities after they get to our club from school. So that is homework primarily, but if they don't have homework, then we provide them with educational activities. And we actually have up to 2 hours of tutoring available for every child. So 30 minutes is mandatory, but after those 30 minutes, if they need up to 2 hours of help with their homework, we're there to provide that for them. And we have a large range of people that do that. Each child has their primary group that they're in after school, and that is normally like K through 1 is together, second grades together, et cetera. And they have their leader that then provides help with homework and other educational activities. And then we do get high schoolers that come in and other volunteers from Cal Poly or throughout the community that come in to provide extra homework assistance.
Okay. I'm gonna give you the question that probably parents and community members probably give you a hard time about. If you have a kid that comes in and you want them to do 30 minutes of some academic work in that environment, what do you do with the kid who comes in and says, I came here to play. I've been in school all day long. So what do you do to engage the child that's resistant to striving for the things that you think they should be striving for?
It's a lot of kids, so that's not a surprising question. We do start with snack because we know they've been at school, they're hungry. Okay. We provide all of the kids a snack to start with, and that gives them a little bit of free time to get their chatting out. And then after that, it really has to do with positive reinforcement. So they need to participate in the activities that we are providing them at that time, which would be educational activities. If they do, they get rewards. So they get Power Hour points, which they can then use to spend as money in a Power Hour store. So they can buy candy. They can buy – a lot of them like buying school supplies, actually.
That's cool.
They can buy toys. They can buy games. There's a really large variety of stuff that they can buy with those points that they earn. Some of the Power Hour leaders come up with their own incentives as well. So that might be – the star student of the day. So that student is the one that gets to sit at their own desk and, you know, get the praises of the teacher, which they all really strive hard to get. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, if the positive reinforcements that we really would prefer to use aren't working, then we do have to go with, well, if you're going to be using everybody else's time for us to keep you on track, then we're going to get some of your time back. So when everybody else is getting to have fun, play basketball, do art activities, then that's when you're going to have to be giving us that homework time back since you've utilized that time in an inappropriate manner.
Boy, even in the Boys and Girls Club, you've actually refined detention. and made it sound like it's just part of the recreational part of the day. I think I didn't mean to sound silly about it. I think that really is a very important factor, because for a lot of these kids, their general view is, I just want to get out of school. So I think when they get an environment where there's some incentives to pay attention to school, I think that's very, very good to look at. Jeb, how did you get involved in this, and how do you see this as a part of your community?
Well, I got involved in this. Actually, my first experience with the Boys and Girls Club was as a single parent. And living in North County, my three boys at home by themselves while I was at work usually ended with a hole in the wall or something broken, and a lot of pointing fingers of it wasn't me. And so the Boys and Girls Club became a place that I felt safe, where my kids could go, and I knew that somebody was there to watch and to maybe help get them started on their homework. And I knew they weren't going to be roaming around or causing trouble and those types of things. We've heard Megan talk about, you know, kind of the educational programming from a technical standpoint, but I think what's important from the layman perspective, what this means for parents is the Boys and Girls Club offers a way to eliminate what I call homework wars, and that is when the kids get home from work, they don't want to do homework, and you are tired and you don't want to fight with them. This ongoing battle of doing homework and all of those things can really be alleviated by having a place like the Boys and Girls Club to help get that homework started, to help get you going, so that when you get home, it's already done and you don't have to worry about it, and you can spend a little more quality time.
So how did your kids feel when they were first exposed to the Boys and Girls Club?
I think there was probably a little bit of intimidation at first, because there's a lot of kids there. Mm-hmm. And then once they assimilate in, kids are resilient with that. They assimilate into the environment, and they start to make friends. They start to develop relationships with people in the organization, and it becomes a great experience for them.
So now are they still part of the community? I mean, I don't know how old your children are. So are they still part of this Boys and Girls Club community?
No, my youngest is 19, and my other two are older than that, so they're not part of the program anymore. But at the time when I needed it, it was very helpful for me. And then later in 2007, as my kids were kind of out of the program a little bit, I had the opportunity to serve on the board, and I've been there ever since.
Good. So it's a program you believe in. That's terrific. I want to remind all of you that we are talking today about the Boys and Girls Club in North County, and the aspects of the community that want to look at better serving the youth of our community, and those, I mean, a lot of cases who are in financial need for adequate and responsible after-school, childcare or daycare. And that's the Boys and Girls Club is a key part of that. This is a call-in program. Our phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. This is KCBX Community Radio, and we want you to be part of the community, so please give us a call. I would encourage you, if you have questions or observations about this kind of program that you want to know about, that you give us a call reasonably early in the program. It's tough sometimes to get the last few calls in later in the afternoon. Kate, I want to go back to you. You've been with the program in Paso Robles now for how long?
Well, I moved to this area in 2008, and I joined the board probably just several months after after I moved to the area, and I was on the board for 5 years. I took a bit of a hiatus in 2013, and then coincidentally, Jeb and I have the same birthday.
Oh,
and
okay.
A few years apart, of course, but Jeb and I have the same birthday, and we always get together for lunch around that time. And in 2014, we had lunch in late October, and he told me that there was a vacancy running the club, and I was running my own business at the time. And this just sounded like something that would be much more fun and rewarding than what I was doing previously. So I was able to sell my business, and I took this position in mid-January, and just really at I think I have the best job in the county because my job is great because I get the wonderful experience of interacting with our kids periodically. My main focus, however, is being externally focused in the community, trying to educate people about the Boys and Girls Club. Obviously, raising money is a huge part of my job, but it's just so nice to be able to do that and have the inspiration that comes from interacting with their kids and the parents as well. I mean, I want to pick up on something that Jeb said because, you know, clearly, you know, our day-to-day responsibility is looking after the kids, but I really feel like we take care of the family because, to Jeb's point, we take care of the homework wars. You know, we make it so that for families that both parents work, I mean, to be able to come home and spend that time having quality time with your kids is huge. We have most of our families, both parents are working. We also have a huge number of single parent families. In fact, we had an open house in March and we recognized two young ladies that had both spent 1,000 days at our club. And they were both in single parent households, and both parents spoke and said that there was no way that they could raise their kids without the assistance of the Boys and Girls Club. And I think what they mean, obviously, they would have raised their kids, but could not have raised their kids the way they wanted to with the outcome that they had achieved without the Boys and Girls Club.
So you were an obvious resource for them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes.
Let's go. We've got a call. Let me see. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're on the air, so tell us what your questions or thoughts are.
You know, I just want to say thank you, first off, to the Boys and Girls Club for really helping me with my children and you know, the homework, it really is hard to come home from work. I work at a daycare, and, you know, as soon as I leave the daycare, I go and pick up my kids from there, and we get home, and it's just, the first thing is like, okay, well, let's check your homework, and they're like, we don't want to do homework, and it really is nice that to come home, and I don't have to worry about it. Of course, I check it and make sure, but, I mean, it really really does help, you know, that they do sit down and they do the homework. And they, you know, I've been out of school for a long time, so it helps that when Mr. Sam and everybody, they know math and they know stuff and they can help answer questions that I can't, you know. And my children absolutely adore everybody there, you know. They've helped me a lot by getting my kids in there for the summer. My son Romeo got his scholarship and they helped pay for that, and my daughter Alyssa got Youth of the Year and they gave her the summer free, and it was a true blessing to have them help and support us the way that they have. And if ever I had any issues or if they had any issues with my children, you know, it's never any problem to, hey, you know, let's go have a talk, and we all sit down and we all get it straightened out. And I just want to say thank you again. And I love everybody at the Boys and Girls Club. And, you know, all the, even just the experiments and field trips that they get to do, it's all learning. And they're learning things that I never knew. And they get an opportunity that I never had. I grew up in kind of a low-class home and, you know, didn't really get to do a lot of stuff that they get to do. And I just, I really, 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 really appreciate the Boys and Girls yeah. Club. And I just want to say thank you yeah. to them.
Well, thanks for your call. I have a question for you. And my question for you is, when your kids first came to the Boys and Girls Club, Was there any resistance? It's like, okay, this is not where we want to be after school. This is not the cool place to be. This is not where our real friends are hanging out. And did that kind of issue become a factor at all in dealing with this?
Oh, no. Never. Okay. My children love it. My son Romeo's been there since he was in first grade, and we actually couldn't afford it 1 year, and he missed it. He's like, Mom, I really want to go back to the Boys and Girls Club. He's made a lot new, more friends. No, there's never been any hesitation from any of them to go.
Okay, great.
At all. They absolutely love it. I actually have my son Joshua here right now, and he's, you know, he's in first grade, and this was his first year, and at first he's like, Mom, there's a lot of big kids, but, you know, the big kids there, they're good mentors.
Yeah.
A lot of the big kids there, they...
Okay, I think we lost the call, so thank you, Jennifer, appreciate it. Let's go. We've got Charlie. Are you with us, Charlie?
Yeah, still here.
Okay. Go ahead. You're on the air, so what are your thoughts or questions?
Oh, yeah. I want to put in a pitch for other Boys and Girls Clubs. We have one here in Lompoc where I'm at, and it's a great program. In fact, one of the leaders, they got our church had a Peace Prize. He got the prize for that. One of the guys in our church is coaches baseball. It's a great area. I know the Santa Maria and Lompoc also have great programs, but keep up the great work. They're filling a very important spot.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. There is this presumption, and I was looking at some of the notes that Kate shared with me about things about the program here, that there is the presumption for a lot of people that because it's a nationwide organization, that the funding comes from the national organization and things like that. Is that a difficult question to address, or the reality is most of the funding is local funding?
Most of the funding is local funding, and you know, every club has a different revenue strategy. Our strategy is, you know, we're very focused on sustainability because, you know, we do play an important role in families' lives, and we don't want to be there 1 year and not the next year. So we try very hard not to be reliant upon government funding. And we view private donations and private foundations, so individual giving and private foundations, are our key sources of revenue because they are much more sustainable than government funding. And it is a misconception because there is Boys and Girls Club of America, but we operate solely on a local level, and we actually pay a little bit of money to Boys and Girls Club of America.
Okay.
So it actually goes the other way, but we rely 100% on local funding.
Okay. Well, it brings up an important question because obviously you're dealing with a program that if you were charging people what market is for the program, an awful lot of parents couldn't afford it. So I'm curious, how much does it cost a parent to be part of to have their child part of the program, and what is the reality that what it's really costing you as a program?
Well, the after-school program, we charge $20 per child for the entire school year, and it costs us roughly $1,500 per child, you know, in terms of the cost of providing that program for the school year. The summer program, currently we charge $500 per child, which is very affordable because it works out to less than $12 a day. Yet at the same time, many of the families that come for the after-school program are not able to afford that for the summer. We try very hard to raise the number of scholarships so that some of those families and their kids can attend during the summer. You know, it's still very affordable, but yet that can be a large, you know, chunk of change for somebody to lay out.
Mm-hmm. There, we've talked a lot about the program that has its own facility over by Flamson Middle School, but you've got an Atascadero program also. How does the Atascadero program a year-round program also, or a summer-only program?
That's a summer-only program that we recently started. Actually, started last summer was the first summer that we implemented the summer program in Atascadero, and we actually surprisingly had tremendous success with the first program right out of the gate in Atascadero, realizing that once parents got wind of the success of the program, the affordability, the fun that their kids were having, it kind of spreads amongst parents. Hey, you need to check out the Boys and Girls Club. So this year, this summer, we are doing the program, and it's actually doubled in size as far as the number of kids that we are serving in Atascadero. So there's a tremendous need in many of our communities for an after school and a summer program that's affordable and a safe place for the kids. So we're happy with that. We certainly would like to see in the future, and we will in the near future, have a year-round program in Atascadero. We're just still in the initial stages of getting that going.
Mm-hmm. One of the callers talked about their Boys and Girls Club program being attached to a church. And in some of your information in your newsletter, it talks about that you have a program that is going on that's attached to the Atascadero Bible Church and the other program you have going on at Atascadero that's attached to the Community Church of Atascadero. I just want to clarify, maybe to make sure our listeners understand, this is not a religious-based organization. You're using facilities for community organizations that happen to religious base.
I think in particular you have to be careful with that word attached. Last year, the first program, Atascadero Bible Church, graciously allowed us to use their facilities. And again, this year, Community Church of Atascadero views it as part of their mission to give back to their community. So they're letting us use their entire campus free of charge to run the program. So there's no church affiliation whatsoever. It's just that in these cases, we did not have a space of our own, and they're just generously donating the use of the space.
And Kate, I'd like to just add something on top of that as far as what makes our program unique. A few years ago, a few of our board members took a trip to Monterey Boys and Girls Club. And the Monterey Peninsula Boys and Girls Club has a huge, nice facility that they operate out of. Something that was interesting to us, because at that time we were kind of on the road of perhaps trying to get our own facility here. But their assistant director said to us, that was probably one of the mistakes that they made, was having a huge facility built, because now they are in the spot of having to raise money to cover that expense. And years later, talking to kids, nobody ever talks about the facility. They only talk about the relationships that they built with the youth development leaders. And so from that point forward, we decided that it would be better for us to use existing places to have our spot. And that's where the churches come in to help us out, and the school districts as well.
Yeah, that's a very important point, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think that's very key. What you're talking about is the takeaway for kids is not how cool the building was, not how fancy it was. For the parents, it's not how convenient the parking lot was. It's what it does for their kids.
Correct.
Which also translates into why Megan's here. Because I think – and what one of the callers said earlier was, it's a matter of what their children learned as far as being better students, more focused on their homework. Is that a reasonably new aspect of your program in Paso Robles, or has that been a key to it for a long time?
I've been with the club for about 3 years now. I think we did a pretty big overhaul of the programming the same year that I came in. Mm-hmm. I think homework has been a part of our program for a long time, but I think we really were making it more of a priority than we had in the past. So, and that even continues in our summer program. And I know that although we've gone out of our way in the past to give them lots of different experiences during the summer, starting last summer, we actually started a Boys and Girls Club of America program called Summer Brain Gain. And that was a really intentional program to make sure that we are doing everything we can to stop summer learning loss with our children. And it's been a great success. Last year, we kind of piloted the program. We didn't do the whole thing. We did 2 hours a day. This year, we're actually doing 3 hours a day of educational programming over the summer. And depending on how much you want me to get into that, because I can talk about it a lot, I think one of the best things that I saw yesterday, we got back from a field trip yesterday. The older kids, so the middle school kids got back. We were letting them have free time because they had just gotten back from a field trip. And I said, you can either hang out, have free time, or you can go join Brain Gain. 95% of them decided to go down and join Brain Gain.
Let's get back to that in a second. I want to remind folks that this is Central Coast Voices. We're talking about talking with representatives today, Kate, Megan, and Jeb, who are from the Boys and Girls Club of North County. And I want to let you know that this is a call-in program that you're welcome to participate in, and want you to be part of it if you can. The phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. Okay, is it Taisha? Okay, we have Taisha on line one. Taisha, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what are your thoughts or questions?
I was calling in to just give my views about the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, start talking.
Well, my daughter has been there for about over 11 years. Of the North County Boys and Girls Club, and Kate and Jeremy have been excellent. Not a single parent, but me and my husband, we do work two jobs or whatever, so we just needed help with our daughter. And they're wonderful. They do a lot with them, help them with their homework and activities and self-esteem and everything that they need, and I'm just so, so thankful for them.
Great. Thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing that.
Taisha, my apologies to your husband. Her daughter was one of the young ladies that we recognize for having been there 1,000 days. And she's Kirsten is a wonderful young lady.
That's great. Good to hear. I want to get back to what Megan was talking about. Is it brain game or brain gain?
Brain gain, as in growing your brain.
Yeah. One of the things I hear often I've had to remind my wife, who's the middle school teacher we've talked about, that she'll come home for spring break and she'll talk about, okay, here we go with the spring learning loss program of the kids will come back in 2 weeks and doggone it, the stuff I taught them yesterday will never sink in. And that's an ongoing discussion. It's a view why some people would prefer year-round schools. So it's probably a struggle for parents. It's a struggle for teachers. So it's obviously, I would say, a struggle for you. But it's good to hear, and I'd like to hear a little more about the fact that you have kids that opt to be doing that as opposed to going out and playing basketball or dodgeball.
It's a really well thought out program, and again, we get this from Boys and Girls Club of America. They've put a lot of research into it, a lot of time in developing the program. It's a new program for them as well. So last year was, I think, the second year that they had ever run anything like this, and they've been putting a lot of time into making sure that it is refined and it gets better every single year. It has a lot of project-based learning, so the kids get to get in groups. They get to come up with their own ideas about what they want to build, and incorporate science, reading, math, and then also what they call kind of 21st century skills. So that's public speaking, computer literacy, those sorts of things.
Collaboration, problem solving as teams. Boys and Girls Club of America actually has done some informal studies in terms of the benefits of the program, and they did determine that it does prevent summer learning loss in both reading and math, and in some grades are actually increasing it. So this year, actually doing a randomized trial so that they are able to get the program certified as evidence-based. Just to give you an example, today's lesson was all about recycling. And so the very youngest group, they had a discussion about recycling, and then their group activity was they went around the club and decorated all of the recycling bins. The next group of older kids went around the perimeter of the club and picked up trash and bottles and stuff like that. And then they came back and made collages and art projects out of the things that they had collected. So, you know, again, some very fun activities, but still within the context of fun, the kids are learning quite a lot.
Cool. I'm curious because you're primarily focused as an after school and summer program. Is there, because we live in an area where there's a tremendous amount of the population that work in hospitality and agriculture, which is not a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday job, How do you address some of the needs of the parents that need facilities and help on the weekends? Is it just something that financially you can't address at the moment?
Go ahead, Jeb.
No, I was just going to say it's right now. It's financially is certainly an issue as far as running the program. We have to look at when we run any program, not only from a financial standpoint, but from an impact. Where are we going to be making the biggest impact? And we have found, I think, the hours that we run the club now makes the biggest impact and helps the largest amount of people that we can for the budget that we have to run under.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, you can't be there 24 hours a day, even though we obviously have local people in low-income jobs that are still working at 2 o'clock in the morning and things like that. But I think my observation is maybe a key factor for there being such a strong program like you have in North County is that there's a tremendous amount of hospitality-based jobs which don't pay well, and most of them don't pay well. And you have a tremendous amount of jobs in agriculture that also don't pay well. So you have a built-in hard-working population. I mean, we're not talking about – there's this perception sometimes that people who are not well-off or that are considered below the poverty line as far as their income bases are not working hard. They're working very hard. They just don't make a lot of money in those kind of industries.
Well, to your point, actually, I saw an interesting statistic just the other day, and basically, of the 2 million low-income families in the state of California, more than 70% of those families are in the labor force. And I believe that in Paso Robles, because of the prevalence of the wine industry, we have a greater awareness of the folks who are working in ag, working in the wine business, and working in tourism, because those are very important to the Paso Robles economy. So I think we have a much greater consciousness of that. But these people are, you know, they're in our entire county. I mean, we wouldn't have 46% free and reduced lunch if they were only confined to Paso Robles. So I think it's important to recognize that those low-income working families are throughout the county, not just in Paso Robles.
Well, from what you've said, you are growing. I mean, you were a Paso Robles-only program for a while. Now you've got a summer program in Atascadero. You did mention that there's in some of my notes from you, that there is a program in Oceano.
Actually, there is a program in Oceano, and they're very much in a rebuilding mode right now.
Mm-hmm. And we did get a caller from somebody from Lompoc that says there's a program down there, too, so that's very good to hear that that's there, too. And let's see. Myra, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you for your patience. What are your thoughts or observations for us?
The Boys and Girls Club is awesome. I'm a single parent with two boys. My son is autistic, and they've done miracles for my son. I didn't think my son was going to be able to handle all the changes and everything else. But till this day, Jeremy acts like a male structure figure, like a father to him. And I don't see that anywhere else. My kids have been in other programs. And, a lot of people just have different experiences. And if I had all the money, if I would win the lottery, I would definitely donate it to the Boys and Girls Club. They're awesome.
Very good point. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Okay. You obviously have a lot of friends and supporters in North County, and that's really from obvious positive results that you guys have had. You currently have the facility that's over by Flamson Middle School, which I think probably in Paso Robles for a lot of people, they don't even know it's there unless they happen to have kids that are involved in it, because it's kind of hiding off to a corner of a middle school on a corner of the school facility that you can't see from the street very well. But there's been some discussion, or there's plans for a teen center for the Boys and Girls Club in Paso Robles. Who wants to jump into that one?
I'll start. I'm okay. Sure other people will jump in as well.
Okay.
In general, we're really excited about expanding everywhere, so both to Atascadero and our teen center. Mm-hmm. It was used to be called the Positive Exposures Building, so anybody that's familiar with Paso will maybe know where that is on Spring Street. It's not a real big building, but it's well situated. It's near our Paso site, which we've been in for around 20 years. So that helps because we have lots of people that are really familiar with the area and will be able to run a great program at it. Out of it, I know that we're going to be in the process of renovating it. It's been vacant for a while now, and it needs a lot of renovations before we can have anybody in there. And we've had families and our teens all clamoring, asking when are we going to be able to go there, because in order to best serve the older youth in our community, we really need to have a separate space for them where we can run the programming that is suited for them.
Yeah, and so you're not going to be giving up or moving out of your current facility over by Flamson. This is going to be an additional facility.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that actually is good to hear, among other reasons, because one of the things I thought about as I'm listening to what you're explaining your program, especially your after-school program, is if I had a first grader, I'm not really sure that I would think that the environment where my first grader is hanging out with a bunch of 10th graders may be the best environment for them. It's not that I wouldn't trust your program and think that I want them to be there, but I'd like them to be in an environment where there's a little better age clustering, if you will. So that's something that by having a teen center you'll be able to do?
Yeah, and primarily our facility is K through 8. The teens... We don't get a lot of teens coming currently because we don't have the programming directed towards them. We are hoping to open more of a junior teen center this year, since I'm not sure that our actual teen center is going to be ready yet. So we have a few families that have just really asked, is there something that you can do for our kids, because we really want them to stay in your program even though they are going to high school. So we're in the process of coming up with some sort of programming that will help make it meaningful for them. And then as we are able to open up that teen center, hopefully we will be able to pull in more high schoolers. Currently, our biggest high school draw is actually as helpers, and they come from the Key Club, which we are working closely with, and that's with Kiwanis as well. And they come over to be helpers during the homework time that we do and give a lot of kids more one-on-one attention, which they really need.
That would make sense. I think a lot of your high school age kids in the community are better served by knowing that they can give something back and help younger kids. I think that becomes a very good community building skill for them. So that's a good way to use that. That's good to hear. We'll get back to that topic a little more, but I don't want to leave Raymond waiting too long. Raymond, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. What are your comments or questions?
Yeah, I just want to call to be supportive of the Boys and Girls Club, talk a little bit about my experience as a single parent. I've always used the Boys Club to take my kid there to kind of get together with the people who work there. I know them all on a personal level. And to be somewhere else besides school where my kid could have a wholesome environment and somewhere safe to interact with people. Like I said, being a single parent, I kind of make a lot of mistakes, and I'm constantly learning, you know, how to raise a kid, and I need all the help I can get. And something like the Boys and Girls Club has always worked perfectly for me for the last couple of years. I know Jeremy and Elise, Maria, these guys, I know them personally. They're always on the phone if they suspect it's an issue with my kid, even if she's just acting lonely or there's an issue with her homework or anything. I would suggest the Boys and Girls Club for any parent, actually, because I am kind of maybe over strict about the type of kids that my child hangs out with. And a situation like the Boys and Girls Club is always something where all the kids are being watched all the time. They interact with each other all the time. They have programs like Smart Girls where little questions that my child, which is a girl, personally probably would feel uncomfortable talking to me about, but they have people like Leslie who would sit down and talk to them about her experiences and things of that nature. And I just want to call and say I appreciate it. And I know my life with my kid would not be the way it is right now if it wasn't for the Boys and Girls Club.
Raymond, thanks for your call. Some very good points. And I'm glad your child gets to participate in the program. It's good to hear that. He talks about some gender-specific programs dealing with girls and educational aspects that they may need some help with. How does that How does that fit in, and what is that program like?
Smart Girls has been newly revamped by Boys and Girls Club of America again to make it more relevant to today's kids. So we're really happy to be running this program because it's the one we run is primarily for the middle school girls, mm-hmm. Although they do have the programming for younger kids and older kids. And middle school is a really awkward time for kids. They feel like they're already teenagers. They feel like they're already 16, 17, 18. And yet they're not there. They have a lot of questions about a lot of topics that, you know, maybe they're asking their friends about and they're getting answers that aren't educated. And this is a safe place for them to bring those topics up and where we can really educate them about what being a successful and smart woman is about.
One of the aspects that is very important is helping girls develop self-esteem, and then also helping them develop the skills to resist high-risk behaviors and to not succumb to peer pressure, and also to appreciate themselves for who they are. And again, Smart Girls is a program that's incredibly well-researched, and we're fortunate to have that, and then we implement it at a local level. One of the things I want to pick up on that Raymond said, you know, one of the most important aspects underlying the Boys and Girls Club experience is supportive, positive relationships. And that is between staff members and members of the club. It's between the kids as peers. It's how the staff treats one another. We are always modeling positive, supportive relationships, and it's something that we expect out of the kids, and they know that. And it's just remarkable to see it in action. I mean, Jennifer, who called in, her son the other day just blew me away, Romeo, because there are actually two brothers having an argument over how you set up the pool table when you're putting it away. And the younger brother was really, really upset. And Romeo just put his arm around him and took him aside and comforted him. And it was, you know, it was just incredible to watch. But this is part of what we teach kids. We teach them positive conflict resolution. We teach them how to respect each other, respect adults. For example, the reason Megan's name tag reads Mrs. Megan Harris is because to the kids, she is Mrs. Megan.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. And it's the kind of peer camaraderie that you talk about in there, I think, is a key thing. As you were making those comments, one of the things that occurred to me was the fact that some of the tracking of kids that get into trouble, kids who get in trouble with the law, kids who get in trouble with truancy, number of things, have a lot to do with kids who feel like there nothing matters and there's no investment in anything, and I've got nothing to lose, so why do I need to do anything positive and responsible? So I think in a lot of cases, those are the kind of things that you're talking about. Has there been any studies done and any discussion about the fact that money that's spent on something like Boys and Girls Club versus money that could be spent in the same community for youth incarceration is a tough tug-of-war?
Well, I recently was at a presentation that Marcy Powers, who is the coordinator for the County Gang Task Force, and she cited some statistics, and I actually think the multiplier was, I mean, I'm no math pro, but it was exponential in terms of the return. And I think the other thing that's important is with kids from lower-income families, unless there's some intervention of the type Boys and Girls Club, you know, their aspirations are much lower. But with the presence of a Boys and Girls Club in their lives, their aspirations in terms of higher education or specific career goals, the prevalence of that increases dramatically.
Good point. Yeah.
So to a quick wrap up on that, I recently looked at the incarceration numbers, and according to the Department of Corrections in California, it's about $42,000 a year to have a person locked up in the state of California, and it's about $2,000 a year per kid, $2,500 per year to run the kids through our program. And I'll leave you with this. Something that's always struck me about the way we run our program is that we're very adamant about the education aspect of it, and we want the kids to be able to be successful in school. And something that helps them is the fact that if a child can be reading at grade level by the time they go into the fourth grade, their chances of success in school going forward tremendously increases, because that's an age from third to fourth where you're no longer learning to read, you're reading to learn. And that switch really makes a difference in kids' lives if they can be reading at grade level.
Very good point. Megan, so if people, when they finish listening to this program today, need to know something that you don't want them to forget, where are we going with this?
To me, it's that the need is there. Talking to families in both Paso Robles, Atascadero, everywhere that we go, they're always asking, when can you expand? When is there going to be room for my child to be there during the school year, for my teen? At all of our sites, we have waiting lists for all of our programs. And we would love to be able to serve as many children as possible throughout the county. But unfortunately, we're financially constrained in being able to do that. So the more kids we can serve, the better we can do, you know, we can lower costs from prison. And to me, it's just really important that we are able to meet the needs that those parents are telling us about. It breaks my heart every time I have to tell a parent, you know, I'm really sorry we can't help you this time. And I'd love to be able to stop saying that.
Yeah. Very good point. Kate, is there a waiting? There's a waiting list.
There is a waiting list. I mean, we've consistently had a waiting. Well, so our average daily attendance in Paso Robles is 100 kids a day, and we consistently have a waiting list of about 50 kids. And both summer programs were significantly oversubscribed this year. So that is a reality. And I guess, you know, my primary responsibility, which is spreading awareness of the club, but also having that lead into resources for the club. You know, we know how to execute the program, and we very much have the desire to be able to serve more families, more kids in our community. But, you know, the bottom line is that we need funding to do that. In both cases, with our teen center in Paso Robles, we're fortunate because we have some money that was designated for capital improvements. So we have the money to renovate the building. We do not currently have the funds to operate the program. Similarly, in Atascadero, that church is very happy for us to run an after-school program there. But we do not currently have enough funds to run that program. You know, that's kind of where we are. And the other thing, I think it's important to recognize that, you know, we in some cases, I think we get the impression that people think, oh, we're competing with other programs that are in the community. I mean, in our experience in Paso Robles, there's four different after-school programs, and they're all oversubscribed.
And that doesn't count small mom-and-pop daycares that may be handling six or eight kids.
Yeah. Absolutely not. You know, Boys and Girls Club is unique because it's all we do is provide programs for low-income families during the hours that kids are not at school and not at home. That's all we do. But again, I mean, there's something for everyone out there. But again, our sweet spot is being available for primarily low-income working families.
So I want to make sure I don't lose track of this. Basically, your explanation is, among other things, that if you had the ability to host another half again as many kids, so you currently host about 100 as an after-school program, that if you had the facilities or the staff to do 150, you'd do is wipe out your waiting list. You would not be not be taking kids away from other facilities or other programs in the community.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's a big factor. Jeb, you're the community guy, okay? You're the one that's here because you had kids in the program. Obviously, you've got a lot of great support. We've talked before. We know who some of the people in the community are who quietly and not very flagrantly, or flamboyantly, support what you guys are doing. But obviously, there's a lot of things the community could do that aren't being done. Where do you want to see this go as a parent who's experienced great things for your kids from it?
One of the things that we strive for, and as a board member, what I would really like to see us be able to get to is we just want to have people within the community that can help to kind of act as cheerleaders to spread the word a little bit about what we do at this organization. There's a lot of people in this community who support us, who want to see us succeed, and they understand the value of what we are trying to provide to the community. And I think anybody out there who feels that they can offer some assistance in that way, and it doesn't always mean monetarily. We're talking somebody who is a retired teacher who fully understands summer learning loss and sees value in what we're doing and wants to help. We want you to help us. And there's something for everybody, whether it's from a donation or whether it's to volunteer your time. There's something there that we can you can help give back.
You know, it's summertime. We may have high school kids and college kids who are listening to this program. I hope we do. I'm wondering what they can do to be part of a program like this. I mean, if a college student who's in the county wants to pick up the phone and call the Boys and Girls Club and say, "What can I do?" Megan, what is the answer they're going to get?
Well, if they're over 18, they have to be able to pass a background check.
Okay, understood. Okay.
But other than that, we have. I mean, it's really up to them, whatever they would like to give back. If they want to help with the educational side of things, we always need help with education. So whether it be homework or helping with our brain gain, which is our educational component during the summer, there's that. If they just want to come teach an art class, we would love for them to do that. If they want to lead the kids in a soccer game or a basketball game, really the sky is the limit. And we love having community involvement. So the more community involvement that we can get, the better our program's going to be for all the children.
That, and we'll leave it with that, but I think what you're really saying, which is a critical thing we need to make sure people remember, is that you don't have to be an educator. You don't have to be a professional in dealing with youth to be part of making this a positive experience in the community. I thank you folks for being with us today. I want to remind you, if you haven't noticed, we've been talking about the Boys and Girls Club of North County. We also got a call from a nice gentleman talking about the Boys and Girls Club in Lompoc. And Kate also mentioned that there's a Boys and Girls Club in Oceano. There's room for a lot more. I think one of the best things we could hear about would be maybe we get a new Boys and Girls Club someplace because we rattled enough cages to show how important it is. And I thank my guests today. I want to remind you that this is Central Coast Voices, and we are a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. Next week, your host is going to be Chris Kington Barker, and she's going to speak with guests from the People for Faith and Justice. That'll include the Reverend Richard Karish of the Disciples of Christ, and also the Executive Director of People for Faith for Justice, who's the Reverend Leanne Grigoli. And she's a retired pastor of Napoleon Presbyterian Church, and the Reverend Carol Hall of the St. Benedict's Episcopal Church. And they're going to talk about a program called Building Bridges Across Our Divides and how we can build better communities and more positive experiences for people. And that's what they're going to be talking about next week. I hope you can join them. This is Central Coast Voices, and our sponsor is Action for Healthy Communities, as I've told you, along with KCBX Public Radio. And thank you very much for the program underwriting of Joan Gillard Sargent. If you want to contact us, voices@kcbx.org is our email, and 542323 is our phone number. Thank you to my guests today, Kate Morgans, Megan Harris, and Jeb Brown. This has been Central Coast Voices. We're glad you could be with us today. Coming up next is This American Life with Ira Glass, one of my favorite public radio programs. Thanks for joining us.